Welcome to the creative side of week 14, you guys. This is going to be a really good week. We have big things in store. Just remember, my goal here is just to give you a creative kickstart. You certainly don't need to do all of these or any of them. I just hope it inspires you to teach creatively so that your eyes light up as you teach and your kids catch fire. You know, like literally this week, you're going to see some fires begin. I'm going to walk you through the object lesson supplies first, and then I'll take you through each one individually, but good things are in store. Okay, first, I wanted to talk about those two big issues that Jacob is addressing in his people. He sees this sin of pride and this sin of the law of chastity being broken, and he's going to address both. So in our first two object lessons, we'll hit both of those. The first one's going to focus on pride. I call this an ore grabbing game because basically you're going to put a whole bunch of ore out and then invite your kids to grab it. And in the process of playing this game, they'll actually walk through what Jacob teaches about the risks of pride. I'll explain the details soon, but basically supplies-wise, you really just need pencils. A sharpened pencil is better if you have those on hand. They don't need to be new, just a sharpened pencil. And then you're going to need some paper cups. We tried this with plastic cups, and I'm telling you, plastic doesn't work, because what you're going to make are these little grabbers. So kind of like a claw machine from your childhood where you would grab the prize, that's what you're making to grab the ore. So you need two cups for each person that's playing, and then the printable that goes with them to help you figure out how to put it together and make it look cute. So two cups. I got the 12-ounce size of paper cup. They're made for like hot cocoa. 8-ounce would probably work as well. Anything smaller might be too small, but something around there. I have links on the notes if you want to grab them from Amazon like I did, but you can probably find them at any grocery store. Okay, object lesson two. This is where the fire comes in. In that Steak Relief Society meeting that I just went to, I got to meet some of the Chandler family, and the kids there requested more fire. So here it comes, Chandler family. So we're going to do fire to teach about the law of chastity. This is one of my very favorite ways to open up discussions about things like pornography and other areas regarding the law of chastity that you might want to talk to your kids about. You can kind of feel this out on your own, but it's actually a really simple way to teach it, and it packs a punch. So for it, you simply need some sanitizer. I just bought it at the dollar store. This little jar will be plenty. And then you're also going to need a candle. I prefer getting the longer candles just because it gives you a little more distance between the flame and your hand. So if you can find birthday candles that are a little long, that's ideal. And then, of course, something to light it with. You're going to need a lighter. I thought it was easiest to use something like this. Again, from the dollar store, a long neck lighter gives you a little more distance and keeps things a little more safe. Okay, third object lesson. This one's the simplest of all three. This is an object lesson I just did with my YSAs a couple weeks ago, and it worked so well that I decided we needed it here, especially because Jacob's going to speak about healing wounds. And I think this is a really simple way to do it. For your supplies on this one, you just need a dry erase board. It can be any size. If it's on the wall in your seminary class, great. If you have something small like this, that works as well. You can find this at the dollar store too if you need it. Then you need two kinds of markers. You're going to need an Expo marker, a dry erase marker, and then also a red Sharpie. It doesn't technically have to be red, but I think it teaches the lesson just a little bit better if it is red. So if you have a red Sharpie and any color of Expo, you'll be good to go. Then something to erase with as well. But okay, that's your full supplies list. Now let's get into the details. Some of my favorite object lessons are the ones that the kids don't even realize you're doing an object lesson, but you're actually acting out what the scriptures are teaching you as they play. So I'm calling this Mighty Mini Ore Grabbing Game, because basically you're going to make grabbers, like I showed you, and you're going to try and gather ore. So the making of the grabber is your first step. You're going to want one of these for each of the players. If that is too tedious for you and you have a large class, you also could, you know, work a few kids at a time and let them demonstrate and then switch places or something. But the more you can make, the more fun your kids will have. You need these, one for each player. The assembly process for those is really simple. It's all laid out for you on the printable, so I won't walk you through all of that here. But basically, you're just kind of assembling two cups together and adding a printable to make it look really cute. And then you're going to cover your classroom or your kitchen or your living room, wherever you're teaching, with just simple balls of paper. If you wanted to take this to the next level and you have a longer class to work with, you could even write scriptures about pride on these pieces of paper and then study those later. But really, to do the object lesson, you just need to ball up some paper. Aim for about golf ball size, maybe a little bit larger, but not too big. So ball up a bunch of paper. This represents your ore. So if you happen to have paper that's colored silver and gold and jewel tones, that would be fun. But you just want to create ore and scatter it around the room. Then you're going to challenge your kids to use their grabber to grab the ore. So they'll assume naturally, because it's a game, that it's kind of every man for themselves, right? So you're going to say, I'm setting a 2-minute timer, or depending on how many kids are in your class, you may need to extend it or shorten it, but set a 2-minute timer and say, I want you to get as much ore as you can. Now they're going to have to be kind of careful about where they stockpile their ore, because if you notice this little grabber, it doesn't hold much on its own. It can hold a ping pong ball or a ball of paper, but not much more. So they're going to need to figure out a place in the room where they can keep their stash, you know, almost like a chipmunk. They need to store their stash of ore somewhere and then watch the game play out over 2 minutes. I guarantee as your kids play this game, you're going to see some cheating occur, even if they're really good kids, because they want to win, right? And so they might do things like kind of kick a ball out of somebody else's way, or they might grab it with their hand instead of with their claw, or they might even go over to somebody else's pile and take one out of their pile and put it in their own. You'll see all kinds of clever ways to grab. And then you want to stop the timer. So at 2 minutes, stop the timer and tally. So I wouldn't even explain what they were playing. I would just let them play and tally points. So write down on a piece of paper or on the chalkboard each person's score and then their total score as a class. And then you're going to talk about what you saw. So for example, this is when you would break it down for your kids and say, tell me some of the behaviors that happened because we were all seeking to get as big of a pile of ore as possible. And let them tell you, oh, well, he kind of kicked my hand when I was reaching for something, or I sort of cheated and reached down and grabbed a thing and put it in my cup just because I really wanted to win. Or, you know, you'll hear them explain what they did. And this is when you sort of break it down as a teacher and you say, did the ore cause this problem? And they'll naturally know that it's not the ore that caused it. It's the desire to have the most ore that caused this problem. When they were seeking to have more than somebody else, it creates these other sins. I think that's really important. And I think Jacob tried to teach it to us this week as well, because he's not saying the love that seeking for wealth is bad. He's saying, if you seek for the kingdom of God first and then seek wealth in order to build the kingdom of God, God will bless you. It's when you get those reversed, kind of like those first two commandments. When you get those out of order, things fall apart. So the same thing happens here. So that's when you're going to play round two. So round two is the exact same game. Take all those balls, scatter them around the classroom, and then you're going to invite your kids again to play. But this time, you're just tallying their total score as a class. So you're inviting them to try and beat that first score. So remember how I had you write everybody's numbers down and then tally up how many? So if they got 30 balls on the first round, challenge them to beat it as a team the second round, and then see how they do. And watch how the game plays out. Set the same 2-minute timer and pay attention to how the game shifts. When there isn't that element of competition and trying to be better than somebody else, they get creative. In fact, I would encourage them before the timer starts to be creative. What do they need? Where should they put their pile to be most advantageous to the group? Whose talents should they pull from as the grabber versus the person who like corrals the pile versus, you know, like they could diversify and be smart and strategic on how they can get the best chance for getting the most balls in their pile by the end. And then basically ask them at the end of those 2 minutes, how did it feel? How did it feel to be on a team working towards a goal? How did it change how you see each other and how you help each other? And, you know, I think they'll see it naturally and they'll understand that in the kingdom of God, we're supposed to be building each other, because we're not building our own individual stockpiles. We're building his kingdom. It's a common goal. That doesn't mean we'll all do the same jobs or even have the same amount of wealth or any of those things. It just means we will be on the same team and we will be finding ways to bless each other in a variety of ways. I think the game itself teaches what Jacob was trying to help me understand. Wealth is not the issue. It's the sins that spill out from me when I'm focused on wealth that causes all kinds of problems. And hopefully this little mini ore grabber will help you see that as well. To be totally frank, lessons about the law of chastity, whether they're at home or in a classroom, can be hard. It's hard. And I think this, Jacob is opening a wide window to say, this is something that needs to be addressed. In fact, I think our prophet has opened that same window, pleading with us to be strong in our teachings, to teach truth clearly. That's why I think we have such great tools at our disposal to understand the law of chastity. Our kids are going to be asked this in bishop interview questions, right? If they keep these laws, and so they need to understand what they are, they need to understand how God's law has been the same always, and even understand how it applies in our specific day. Because just like in Jacob's day, how they had specific law of chastity issues by taking on multiple wives and concubines, in our day, we have specific law of chastity issues that affect our teens and our marriages. And so I think you see the prophet kind of guiding us the same way Jacob did. So in this object lesson, basically, I would set it up by creating a sanitizer chain. The best way I've found to do this is you want in a high lit room, like in daylight is great, like somewhere where there's a lot of light, you want to put a little skinny rope of sanitizer. For us, we did it on a cookie sheet so that my kids could see this sanitizer kind of form of a big rope, but you also could put just a small amount on a plate. It just kind of depends on how you want to roll with this object lesson. But you're going to actually light the sanitizer. So any good sanitizer has a high alcohol content. Different sanitizers will light a little differently, but the same basic idea occurs. Essentially, you're going to light with your lighter one end of that sanitizer rope. And as you do, you'll see, if you're looking really closely, you can see a flame begin because the alcohol starts to burn. In fact, it almost has a bit of a bluish tint. In our videos, you're going to see it really well because we did this at night. So you can see the blue a little bit better than others. But when all the lights were on in the room, it was kind of hard to see. And what's cool about that is your kids will look at it, especially if they've never seen something like this before, and they will think there's nothing wrong with that sanitizer. It'll look exactly the same. And it'll look that way until you hand them a candle. So this is when you take a birthday candle and you invite them to just touch it close to the sanitizer. You want to be careful. This sanitizer actually is on fire. So even though you can't see the fire, it's really hot. And you know, if you have younger kids, this might be something you want to demonstrate for them. Certainly you want to have an adult present, but you're going to have them touch the candle to the sanitizer and they'll see immediately it catches fire because the fire that looks invisible on the sanitizer jumps to the candle wick and lights in a way that your kids can see it. And what's fascinating about this object lesson is you can actually do this over and over and over again. You can blow out the candle, relight it, blow out the candle, relight it, without ever using the actual lighter again, because that sanitizer sort of holds the flame. But what's mesmerizing about the sanitizer is it actually holds it invisibly. And this is why I think it's such a good tool to teach about things like the law of chastity, even things like pornography. In fact, this object lesson I used initially to teach priestcraft, and one of the people in the course helped me see how they taught it for pornography, and I've seen it that way ever since. I loved that guidance. So basically, you can talk about how often sins, especially sins regarding our body, we think nothing has changed, right? Like I could break things with the word of wisdom, go against those promises, and I don't look all that different. My voice might not sound different. Nobody can see it from outside, but there is damage occurring. In fact, one of the coolest things we did this time that we've never done before is we turned off the lights. So I let my kids see how the flame ignites, and then I turned off the lights. And it wasn't until we made the lights go out that you could see how much flame was there. Something that was completely invisible in broad daylight and only barely visible at night, when I hit all the lights, it turned vivid blue. And you could see this flame start on one side of the sanitizer and work its way slowly through it. And it was fascinating to watch because you think you know what is there until you turn the lights off. And then you're like, oh my word, look how much fire there is. Now your kids would never put their hand over it now because they can see exactly how tall it is. That's what I think essentially prophets like Jacob and President Nelson offer us. They are seers, meaning they can see that flame for what it really is. Our eyes are masked by the daylight and we think things are fine. I think I can consume pornography and it won't have any effect on me. I can consume things that will damage my body and it won't really hit me. What the scriptures teach through the prophets and what our prophets teach at things like conference and through things like For the Strength of the Youth Manual is that there is fire there and it is damaging. It is dangerous and you need to be cautious about it. There are ways to kill that fire. You know, you could take a pot lid and smother it or do something like that. But the whole point of this is to help your kids see that what a prophet can see is not what you can see. You need to trust in the sight of a seer and avoid the things he encourages us to avoid. So if you go on the notes, you can see beautiful links. There's a lot in things like the Strength of the Youth Manual, in the New Era, and a lot of other places. But hopefully this will open a gateway so that you can have those hard conversations in a really memorable way. If you look in the Come Follow Me manual this week, they encourage you to draw attention to the wounded soul and what Jacob teaches about how to help the wounded soul, that words help, especially the words of Christ. And I wanted some way to demonstrate that with an object lesson that my kids could understand. Thankfully, this is something that I tried in my YSA class, and it worked beautifully with that age group, so I knew it could also work for Violet and Sam and everyone else. So this time I decided to teach about wounds. So basically what I had my kids do is I started by giving them a dry erase board, and I asked them to draw a limb, so a hand, a foot, a leg, something like that. And then I asked them to use a Sharpie, a red Sharpie, to draw wounds, because what Jacob is concerned about is that these wounds that these people are experiencing from the choices of others, that they will feel pain from them, that they will feel shame from them, and he doesn't want that for them. He's trying to teach them that the atonement can help all wounds. And so this is when you have them draw deep wounds on their different limbs. You're going to do it in Sharpie so that you can show your kids, now I want you to erase the wounds. Try not to erase the hand or the leg, but go and erase the wounds. And what you'll see very fast is that those wounds don't erase. Sharpie on a dry erase board doesn't rub off. It stays. In fact, when I did this with my YSAs, I did it on the church whiteboard, and they were so nervous that I was going to ruin the whiteboard. Like, it is surprising to see how well that Sharpie stays. And then you're going to teach them what Jacob taught his people, that the atonement of Jesus Christ covers wounds. It promises help and healing. Like we've talked about before, I really see what the Savior offers as a bandage. It is this promise that he will help you clean out wounds. He will give you the balm that you need to heal them, and he will cover them. I think it's beautiful that the atonement means a covering. You know, that word kafar that President Nelson taught us about, it means a covering. So you can kind of talk about that. The way you demonstrate that with your object lesson is you give your kids a Sharpie, or sorry, give your kids an Expo marker, and then ask them to color over the parts that have Sharpie on them. What the Savior can offer that nothing else can. No cleaner, nothing else can remove that Sharpie. But this Savior offers something different. His atonement offers healing in a way that restores what was lost, in a way that makes a person whole again. So you're going to have them color over all those red Sharpie marks with an Expo marker. And then after a second or two of drying, they can take that same eraser that they tried to use before and wipe the whole board clean. Because that's what the atonement offers. No matter if your wounds are self-inflicted or if they're wounds that are caused by someone else, you are not broken. You are not beyond repair. This is, if you have a chance, I would direct you to Elder Kieran's message from a couple conferences ago. He spoke to those who are victims of abuse, and he spoke to those who are wounded and offered the most beautiful words of help and healing. And since he's our newest apostle, I just think this is a beautiful way to introduce your kids to him before they hear him at conference. I just think his words were soothing to the soul, and they teach exactly what these Expos and Sharpies teach, but in a more eloquent way. So I hope you go in. If you go in the creative notes, you can find all those there, but it's a simple way to help your kids appreciate that what the Savior offers is different and simpler than what everyone else offers, and it works. Things that were once red can be made white again. Things that were once broken can be whole. He can fix the unfixable, as Elder Kira taught us, and he's perfect at it. So I hope this object lesson helps you teach that. I'm so grateful that you're here. Thank you for coming, listening, and learning with me. I love it each week, as hard as it is. I love it. If you want more help, please feel free to join me on the live. You can come to gather.mechmom.com, make a free membership, and then just join us on the live each Monday. We do it at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. That's where I'll talk through some of the insights I couldn't quite fit here and guide you through the object lessons. If that's not a good spot for you, or if you're not interested in a subscription so you can access the printables and the notes, just know that you also can access the printables on my Etsy shop. So if you need the grabber game and you want to try it in your class, you can find it for a few dollars over there as well. You can find the links in the description below. But whether you use my object lessons or just create your own, I hope you find creative ways to teach. Jacob offers so much that we can pull from. His guidance is sweet about the Spirit, about the value of prophets, about Scripture. I just think you could go in a bunch of different directions and teach a powerful lesson to your kids or to your classrooms. There's plenty to work with. So enjoy your week, you guys, and I'll see you next week as we head into the next week of Jacob's writings.